episode 214 of Board Game Blitz, a podcast about all things board games that you can listen to in less time than it takes to stop smiling after you see a really cute dog. Board Game Blitz is sponsored by Gray Fox Games. This week, we are talking about game delights. First, we discuss a couple games we've played recently, River of Gold, Draft and Write Records, and Lorelei and the Laser Eyes. Then, we talk about the opposite of pet peeves by talking about our fave gaming delights. And now, here are your hosts,
Ambi
and Crystal.
Recently, I got to play River of Gold, which is a 2024 release designed by Keith Pigott, published by Office Dog. It actually comes out at Gen Con. But I got to play it because my friend Lupe works at Office Dog, and so she had like a, I don't know what the copy is called, but like a...
Production copy, probably?
Maybe production copy.
Or a like, preview copy, or there's, yeah, like...
But it was nice.
Like an early copy. The game before it releases.
Yeah, so she had that to play with people, so we played it at one of our game nights. Yeah, so River of Gold, it's a 2 to 4 player game. It takes about an hour. I think our game took an hour. It's like a mid-weight Euro game, but it's themed around Legend of the Five Rings, which I haven't played. I think it's in that universe. So apparently like the River of Gold is a place in that universe, but the board has a River of Gold on it. It's really cool looking.
I saw your picture of this. It did look really cool.
Yeah. It's got like this embossed metal gold foil like on the board on this river. But the gameplay is like kind of a resource gathering economic game where you're moving your boat workers down this river. And it's kind of like Monopoly in that you're moving down and then you pass the end of the river, you go back to the beginning, but you have two boat workers and you can choose which one moves. And when you pass go, you get extra things. But like, it's not bad to land on other people's faces and stuff. That's the only thing about Monopoly is you pass go. You get like a bonus when you go past the river and come back sometimes. But anyways, in the game, you are trying to get the most points. On your turn, you roll a die. You actually roll the die at the end of your last turn so you can plan ahead because the other people's turns don't affect you that much. But you can either use your die. The die will have a number and like a color on it. And you either use your die roll to either move one of your ships that number of spaces, or you can build a building in that region. So there's 6 different regions corresponding to the pictures on the die faces, or you can fulfill a contract to a customer of that region. So you're going to have a hand of cards that have different customers and they say like, oh, this person wants a silk and a rice or something. And so you have these resources and you can spend it to play down that card. And then a card gives you a thing for fulfilling that. And at the end, you get points for like having a lot of customers. You get points for having buildings. And every time you build a building or like some things give you influence on influence tracks in the different regions, so you get points for that, points for lots of different things. There's also these things called masteries, which is 3 things. I think it's randomized at the beginning of each game, but it tells you like the first person to get 3 different customers that they deliver to gets 7 points, and then the second person will get 5 points and stuff like that. So those masteries will affect what you're going for to get extra points in the game. And then also when you build buildings, they give you bonuses, but also like you put them on paths on the river, so when someone lands on a path, they're going to be able to get things based on what space they landed on. Each space is connected to 4 different building areas. When there's nothing there, you just get a coin, but like if there's a building there, you get extra stuff, so you can get cool stuff. But if someone else built that building, they also get stuff. So that's like kind of like Monopoly too, except for you also get stuff for landing. You don't pay anyone for landing on their space. They just get stuff and you get stuff. So everyone wins.
Which kind of makes sense, right? I mean, I guess with the whole houses and hotels thing, it's different. Yeah. But in theory, like if you're building a business or whatever else, mm-hmm. when somebody else stops there, they get something, you get something. Yeah. That is how the economy works. If you're not just talking about real estate.
Yeah. So that's cool how you're like, basically a lot of stuff you're doing is getting points. And so I enjoy the game. Yeah, I haven't played like a mid-weight Euro game in a long time. And so like I had fun with that, but it's not like the type of game that I am excited to go out and play now. But I thought it was a solid game. Like it didn't have like anything super spectacular or new. It's like a lot of things that I've done before in other Euro games, but like it worked well. So yeah, I enjoyed River of Gold. If you're into like hour-long economic resource collecting games, then this is a solid one. So I enjoyed River of Gold, and it's also very pretty. The gold on the river, very pretty.
Yeah, adding literal gold to your board game components knocks it up at least 0.5 in the BGG ratings, right? Yeah. Like you have to account for the gold, obviously. Yeah.
That was River of Gold.
One of my recent gaming obsessions has been the 2024 release Draft and Write Records from Inside Up Games, designed by Bruno Maciel. I'm probably butchering his last name. Apologies to Bruno. So Draft and Write Records is a roll and write or flip and write, or in this case, draft and write style game, where you are basically given a variable of some sort and then you write something on the pad in front of you. This style of game got popular a few years ago, and then there were tons and tons of roll and writes coming out. And now I feel like we've kind of settled into what will probably be the new norm. And this, to me, is an example of one of the best that I have seen come out of this genre. Sorry to, I guess, spoil the end of my review. But so in Draft and Write Records, you are managing a band. You are the manager of the band. And throughout the course of the game, players draft cards by getting a hand of cards, picking one and then passing to the player next to them. And when you draft a card, you mark down whatever you drafted on your player sheet. And there's a number of different areas on your player sheet that you can mark things in. Those are the band members that you can recruit to be in your band, assets that you can use to work with, like microphones or a piano, things like that, your agenda, which are the things that basically would go on your band's schedule, like scheduling a rehearsal or selling tickets, things like that. There's a tour section where you can literally take the band on tour, and when you get little bus symbols, you keep checking off little things down a path to go on tour. There is also a harmonies section, which is a section you unlock generally by synergizing other sections of the board. And so it's neat because, like, when things mesh up, you get a harmony, which makes sense, and that will often unlock other things. And then you can also release singles and albums. The thing that all of these sections provide generally are star power, which are victory points in this game, and the ability to mark off other things in other sections of your sheet. I love the series of Roll and Write games, the Gone's Shown Clever, the That's So Clever series. The biggest reason I enjoy those games, and I think a lot of people do, is because they're so combo-y. You do a thing, which lets you do another thing, which lets you do another thing, and it just feels very satisfying to, like, do a bunch of things in a row. This game also has that same feeling, but with a theme. And the theme actually kind of makes sense. And, like, you don't feel like you're playing the guitar or, you know, going on a tour, but it all makes sense. Like, the things you do in one place affecting another place kind of do, like, logically make sense. Some of the things are locked because you have to get cash to be able to hire, like, a certain number of band members in a certain area. And so when you do a certain thing, it'll unlock cash, which will let you hire another band member and things like that. So it all thematically actually fits together, but still has that combo-tastic feel of some of the more themeless blank and write games. I adore this. The sheet itself, when you first glance at it, does look busy and confusing, but learning the game is not that difficult, and playing it is honestly pretty simple. I would say this is in my top three of all Roll and Write style games of all time. Like, this would be up there with Riverside and Trails of Tucana for me. I really, really love it. It's so much fun. You do get to name your band, which of course is, like, a bonus in any game of this style. There are some, like, negatives that can pop up in the deck. I don't remember what they're called. They're not, like, catastrophes. That's the wrong word, but, like, bad things that can happen. Like, you get stuck at the airport, you know, instead of being able to get on your plane or something like that. And you can get negative points for those. But what's interesting is, since you're drafting, depending on what ends up in your hand, you might be passing those negatives to the next player and being like, oh, sorry, that's the, you know, not for me. But I highly recommend this one if you like combo-y blank and write style games. If you're a fan of music and, like, bands, I think it's just a neat theme for a game in general. So yeah, this one is a big winner for me, and I'm really, really loving it. I've been playing it a lot, and I'm going to keep playing it more. So that is Draft and Write Records from Inside Up Games.
Cool.
Briefly, before we hop into the thematic segment, I want to throw in one more game review, but this one's not a board game. I wanted to mention a video game that I recently played and finished. That is Lorelei and the Laser Eyes. I don't remember who first, I think it was somebody actually in the Great Way Games Slack that first got this on my radar and basically was like, everyone, get this game. Get it now. It's amazing. So I actually bought this on Steam when it was not on discount. I trusted my friend. I think it was Eric Yurko, which of course Eric is, you know, Eric's opinion is very, very valid and very good always. So I think I bought it full price just on Eric's recommendation, and he was very, very right. I can't really describe much of the game without spoiling pieces of it, but I wanted to mention it because, Ambie, I know you love puzzle games, and I know probably a lot of our listeners do as well. And this is one of the most enjoyable puzzle video games I've played in quite some time. I can't really describe to you the story. I generally understand the story now that I've finished the game, but I didn't really fully understand the story until I finished the game. And that's not a bad thing. It somehow, the whole time, is confusing and also clear. Like, you know what's happening, but you don't know what's happening. The puzzles are incredibly satisfying to solve. They're the types of puzzles, they're not crazy difficult, but when you solve them, you feel very clever.
Well, that's the perfect type of puzzle.
And there's so many of that type of puzzle in this game. There was one puzzle in the entire game that like frustrated me, that I was like, even after I looked it up, I was like, I don't like this one. One in the whole game. And then there were maybe a couple others that I was like, I didn't get, and I had to like look up a little bit of a hint for, but then I was like, oh, I could have probably figured that out eventually. But almost everything I was and I'm not as good of a puzzle solver as you, Ambie. Like, truly, I'm not. And I was able to solve a lot of this, but I did the thing that I was supposed to do. I took time. And if I couldn't figure out something, I just moved on, went to something else, came back. Because this is one of those games that is not linear. You can solve most of it in whatever order you want, with some exceptions. So I had to mention it for your benefit and for our listeners' benefit. If you like puzzle video games, absolutely get Lorelei and the Laser Eyes. Honestly, all the stuff that Annapurna is putting out, Annapurna Interactive, they also did Outer Wilds, which I played earlier this year and loved. So I need to look at more of their games, I think. Ambie, what's the opposite of a pet peeve?
Now I'm trying to think of like a clever alliterative name for it.
I tried doing that earlier and I couldn't, so now I'm making you do it, I guess. Yeah, like what's the opposite of pet?
I'm looking it up. Stray? Feral?
Feral? Yes! Okay, hold on. That's the first word. So now we need an antonym for peeve.
Feral favor.
Feral favors. Favored ferals. Okay, we're probably not going to title the episode that, but today we are talking about the things in board games that delight us. The opposite of pet peeves, which we have discussed in a prior episode. Like, we've discussed those things that when they happen when you're board gaming really get under your skin and are just annoying. That's not the theme today. Today is the opposite. Those things that when they happen, they're just so delightful and so lovely. And I think that's the stuff that doesn't get talked about enough. So that's why we're doing that today. And you all voted for this. Yeah. So thank you for those of you who voted. In case you are not following us on Ko-fi, you should definitely head over to ko-fi.com/boardgameblitz. And you can follow our posts there and even support us on a monthly basis if you so choose. But yeah, we put up polls sometimes about our episode topics, and you can weigh in on a future one.
So one of my gaming delights is just when I introduce a friend, or I guess a stranger, I don't know, someone to a new game that I really like, and then they end up really liking it. That's like a really exciting, really cool feeling for me, especially like if they just like immediately buy it afterwards.
That was one of mine.
They're on their phone getting it on Amazon after.
This is absolutely one of my delights as well. Like, I don't teach people games trying to get them to buy anything, but like way more times than I can probably think of off the top of my head, I've been teaching a game and somebody will get on their phone while we're playing, and like, no judgment, right? Like, we all have lives. We gotta get on our phone sometimes, but they'll literally like turn their phone around and be like, I just ordered this. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, that's so delightful. Like, to know that they're enjoying the thing that I introduced to them so much that they needed it. Like, they didn't just like think, oh, I should buy this. They were like, I need to buy it right now. That's a powerful compliment.
Yeah, I think it happened recently with us with Decrypto. One of our friends was in town visiting and we played Decrypto because he likes Code Names and Cross Clues, like other games that we've introduced to him. And so we're like, oh, you'll probably like this one too. And so after we played, he ordered it.
I have to give a shout out to my friend Amber, because I know that I've done this to her numerous times. At one point, I think I looked at her game shelf at her place and I was like, oh, hey, like I own that game and that game and that game. And she's like, Crystal, I own most of these games because of you. And I was just like, that's the biggest, like, oh, that's a hug. That just feels so good. Like, I love it. It's adorable. One of my gaming delights is when somebody unexpected wins a game. Because I think, you know, we all have kind of our own personas in regard to, like, how much we care about winning, how often we actually do win, and that varies from person to person. But I've definitely had moments where you see somebody in a game who, even if they're, like, not upset about it, you can kind of tell that they think they're gonna lose, right? That they don't think they have a chance of winning. They're still maybe being very polite and they're playing the game correctly. They're not getting bitter about it or anything. But then at the very end, like, they'll get, like, that 3-point bonus that they didn't realize they had. And they are just so, A, surprised, and B, happy that they won the game. Mm-hmm. I love that moment, because when somebody wins that was expecting to win, that's not that fun or not like that exciting to see, right? Like, it's like, oh yeah, the person who was winning the game won the game. But seeing that person get so excited about a win they didn't know was coming, I love that moment.
Yeah, like or a comeback or like big turns in games like that. Those are always really exciting in games.
Yes, absolutely. Especially when people are handling it like politely and nicely, mm-hmm. and everybody's excited.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess for me, a lot of my gaming is with my kids now. So it's exciting just seeing them play and be excited about winning or doing something. A lot of times they just say they win. A lot of our games are cooperative, so we all win together. But then with some of the competitive games, it's like, I win and then now I win too. Like if it's a race or something, or that one person wins and then the other person also wins afterwards because they want to finish too. Or like, yeah, it's just, I like seeing them excited about playing. I mean, this is true for other people too, but for my kids, it's extra delightful because they're my kids and they're really cute. I like seeing them do everything.
I'll kind of tack on to that a little bit. With every human, I like seeing a person's interest in board games grow in any measurable way, like whether that's from 0 to 15% or from, you know, 25% to 100. I'm at, you know, full bore ordering all the games. I love seeing that moment where somebody falls in love with board games, so to speak. And the reason I'm tagging on is because, kid related, in our last episode I talked about Cora Quest and how my nephews, I taught it to them while I was visiting Kansas City, and last week my sister texted me. To be clear, my nephews, prior to me teaching them Cora Quest, had pretty much exclusively only played mass market board games, which, no judgment, you know, no shade, but like Mousetrap was the thing they always wanted to play. They had a stacking game that I had never heard of before. I think it was called like Tumble Tower or something like that. Like, and that's all they played prior to like 2 weeks ago. And now my 9-year-old nephew has decided that he is going to create the next great board game. It's called Hero Smash. And he literally used Tinker Toys to prototype out game components. And he's been teaching it to my sister and her husband and his little brother. Gosh. And I, like, Ashley was sending me little videos of like this scrawled writing on cardboard with marker that he's been like making the game with. And I died, Ambie. This is the dream, right? Like, I don't have kids of my own, but I've got my nephews, and I literally played a couple of games of Cora Quest with them and told them that a little girl designed this game with her dad, and it inspired my nephew to make a thing, and that's just so awesome. Cool. I don't know if Hero Smash? I don't know if Hero Smash will ever come to the market, but I'm really excited to play it with him next time I visit, regardless.
Yay.
Another gaming delight for me, and this is definitely a personal one that I don't know applies to everybody, but cute stuff in board games. I love a board game with a cute theme, and that doesn't mean every board game with a cute theme is a good board game that I will love, but there are a lot of board games that the theme will draw me in. I think Dog Park is a really good example of this. I was like, it's a game about walking, like rescuing and walking dogs. Like, how could I not like this? And I did like it. It was great, and it was a solid game regardless, but I love cute stuff in games, and especially like cute stuff you weren't expecting, fun little flavor text or artwork that is just adorable. I'm a sucker for that stuff in just about any game.
Yeah, on that note about things in the game itself, I also like, in addition to cute things, I like specifically resources that are like shaped.
Yes!
Like the wooden shaped meeple resources. little dog ones, little sheep, little like cute things. I really like those.
I know that there are adults who will disagree and I don't care, but we are all still children somewhere deep down and playing with cute toys is fun. And if anyone wants to disagree with me, please go ahead. I don't care. It's just like, who wants to play with a big pile of cubes? Nobody. Nobody wants to play with a big pile of cubes, but a whole bunch of little pigs and sheep and cows and whatnot. Yes, we all still want to play with those. Another gaming delight for me, which has been happening more and more frequently over the years, is seeing game designer names on boxes, which obviously with hobby board games is not uncommon, but you know, when we were growing up, you never knew who designed the games. The names weren't on the boxes. So having the names on the boxes, is great, because I love giving people credit for the cool things that they made. And related to that, I love that the names on those boxes include more women and people of color and, you know, like just a more diverse subset of people. There are some really amazing designers who have been in the game for a long time and who do it well, but I'm loving some of the games that are coming from newer up-and-coming designers who maybe hadn't been featured in the past. Some of those games are really unique and really different and really special, and so I love when I see a name on a box that I haven't seen before, because that means whatever's inside that box might be something really cool.
Mm-hmm. Some small gaming delights is like, I like when I get a new game, I like punching out the tokens, and I actually like stickering stuff. I know Crystal like hates punching out tokens and stuff.
I do. So I'm the only one though, and I recognize I am an anomaly. Everyone loves punching their games. Yeah. And I, when my friends come over, I just hand them over. I'm like, here, you guys can punch these. Enjoy.
Yeah, but now most of the time I have to let my kids do it because they want to do it. That's how much I love them. I let them punch my game.
I should have all of my new games mailed to your house so your kids can punch my games.
That's not worth all the shipping.
I mean, no, it isn't, but it's still funny to think about. Like, oh, yeah. Crystal's games are here. Let's get punching.
Maybe when we go to Vegas for Dice Tower West, we can like just go
I'll
punch
break
your
some
games.
Boxes. I'll be like, here you go, guys. It's a win-win.
Another small gaming delight that's not as delightful as it used to be, I used to love it when they include like baggies in the game. Oh, for like sorting stuff.
So I feel like the pendulum has swung too far in the other direction.
Yeah, but now it's like there's too many baggies. And like I had gotten baggies before because they didn't used to have baggies. Now like every game has baggies. So it's not delightful anymore because it's like, oh gosh, what do I do with all these extra baggies?
It is very, very true that it used to be you never got enough. And now to their credit, thank you publishers for including baggies. We appreciate you. Please don't stop. But like I'll open a game and we'll dump out the components and then I'll look and I'm like, there's like 15 plastic bags here and there's less than 15 components. The math does not math. And it feels like they were just like, just toss in a bunch of bags. I don't know.
Oh, but speaking of storage, one delight on a review copy recently that I got was Kids Express. So this is a children's game, but on the box, on the inside of the box, it kind of have like faded pictures of all the components. The Kids Express has a 3D train that you build out of cardboard and it's all like 3D components. So you're putting it back in the box, but it shows you like where to put them. So you just put them all back where it shows, and that was pretty cool because it kind of shows you how to put things back in the box. So I guess any game that shows you how to put things back in the box is nice.
Yes, for any game with like complicated pieces that have to be fit back together in the box, it is very nice to have a guide.
Yeah.
We could probably drone on for hours about all of the delightful things that happen while we are board gaming, but it is a 30-minute podcast. So with that in mind, we would like to hear your gaming delights. What are the things that bring you joy and put a smile on your face when you're playing board games? Reach out to us on social media or hop over into our Discord and let us know in the show discussion channel what your gaming delights are, what we missed, and just spread some good vibes, y'all. Good board gaming vibes all around this week.
Yay! And that's it for this week's Board Game Blitz. Visit our website, boardgameblitz.com, for more content and links. This episode was sponsored by Gray Fox Games. If you need more Midgard in your game collection and you'll be at Gen Con, make sure to visit Gray Fox at booth 2811 to grab deluxe editions of both Clans of Midgard and Reavers of Midgard, the card game, and tell them Board Game Blitz sent you. For those rocking that Gen Can't life, you can always get 20% off non-exclusive items at grayfoxgame.com by using the code BGBlitz24 at checkout. Join the Blitz Gazier community on Discord for game nights, discussions, and more by following the link in the show notes. Support the show by leaving us a rating and review on your podcast provider. And if you like us a lot and want to support us monetarily and get some cool perks, check out our Ko-fi at ko-fi.com/boardgameblitz today. Our theme song was composed by Andrew Morrow. Until next time, Gonna grab my games, gonna hold them tight, gonna have some board gaming delight. My question's always been, it's my turn now, right? Why play until the middle of the cold, dark night? Bye, everyone!
Bye!
I don't have any more. No.
I know, I'm thinking.
And that's it.
No.
We don't like board games outside of that.
Mm-hmm. So, with that in mind, please.